Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Chris Moore. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
We roll on this Saturday night with you till 8:15. That's when Nets basketball takes over. Here again tomorrow night after Yankee baseball as well. Yankees and Toronto, seven innings on the air tomorrow with John and Susan. Susan will say, here's John Sterling, and John will say, Susan, thank you, and a good afternoon, everybody. So we look forward to that, and we look forward to it every year. And I always like the first broadcast. It just, you know, gets me geared up. And I think people, you know, more than ever, there's plenty of excitement and optimism around these two teams. Going into this season, there are a lot of question marks, which always makes it more entertaining when you're wondering about things, where guys will play, what lineups will look like, how pitchers will work out, and just in general, what the feel around the ball club will be. So it's a fun time of year for sure. Paul Rosenberg is producing the program. Dave Lennon of Newsday. Always good to talk to D.P. Lennon. That's where you'll find him on Twitter, at D.P. Lennon. He's been following the Mets around and creating havoc with them. And now he's going to share some of that with us. I want to know if you've got what Pete Alonso has, and that is a little grace. You know, you need a little grace, Lennon.
We all need a little grace, Chris. And I caught a little bit of your show before I came on. And if you've been talking about shifts and the entertainment value of baseball for the past 3 hours, you could probably use a little grace yourself, I'm sure.
I absolutely could use a little grace. Started out with our conversation that you and I have had, and either on Twitter or on air, about just how ridiculous it is to still not know for sure about the DH and still not know about the playoff format. I think it's crazy, but I guess, you know, who's going to tell them no? Who's going to tell them they've got to tell us? You know, we don't have any power over them, so we wait because we don't have any other choice.
Well, I mean, the problem, Chris, and I know you've touched on this a number of times, and I'm sure we've talked about it, is that we want to talk about what's going to make the game better and more entertaining, and they're turning it into an economic argument. So there's a fundamental problem there. So instead of us all coming into agreement on what will make the game better and more entertaining and more action-packed and letting the players be the players, as Francisco Lindor said the other day, it's all being turned into a labor argument. And we know how those go in Major League Baseball, badly, and they can't come to agreement on anything. So when you can't agree on something that you both sides already agree on, because of financial reasons, it's a real problem. And that's why we don't have the DH right now, and that's why the expanded playoffs don't exist. Two things I thought worked very well last year.
Yeah, and do you have any anticipation about, I don't even want to use the word deadline, but what are your thoughts about when we will learn for sure about those two items?
The people that I continue to talk to, Chris, remain, I don't know how to put it, I don't know if optimistic is the right word. How about this? They believe there's a chance of the DH and the expanded playoffs still happening for this season. So I'm not going to count it out. I know people are still hoping for the DH. I know the Mets are still hoping for the DH based on how their roster is configured. So if I had to place a bet on it right now, I would say the DH will be in place by the time the regular season starts.
Wow, how about that? Well, that's good. I like that. I like that insight, and I hope you end up being right, you don't get a player giving out a quote like, I learned to give myself a little bit of grace. That makes me, anyway, step back a little bit. And I think it makes me like Pete Alonso that much more. It's just, it's not a term that players in 2021 in any sport will use very often. What did it strike you at all to read that, to hear that?
To use that terminology, did Chris?
Yeah.
I think what it shows you, and I think why it could be used a lot more in baseball is for what Pete pointed out. I mean, baseball, as we talk about all the time, is a game of failure. You know, even the very best hitters fail 7 out of 10 times. So if you don't give yourself that opportunity to step back and say, listen, what did I do good today? You know, I may have went 0-for-4, but did I have a couple decent at-bats, even though I don't have the numbers to show for it? And that's what he was talking about. Because as we know with Pete Alonso last year, Chris, is that he went through a pretty tough time. I mean, the first 30 or so games for him was difficult. I mean, he was hitting 200. You know, he had an OPS of about 700 and couldn't get the ball out of the ballpark. So after what he was the year before in hitting 53 home runs, being the all-star, being the talk of the town, being the home run derby winner, that was a big step back. And that was tough for him. You know, for all the confidence that these guys have, there are some dark moments. And I think Pete Alonso lived that last year. And if he didn't give himself that grace, a chance to take a deep breath and examine what he did well during those times, he can go off the cliff. He did pull himself back. You know, the last 20 or so games, he was back to himself again. And it was because he took that deep breath. And I think what it shows you is that he's a pretty thoughtful guy. And I think that can help him a lot going forward.
Yeah, and it's scary too, because you know you look across town at what's happened to Gary Sanchez and the ridiculous start that he had to his career, which seems like 100 years ago now, and where he is today, wondering so much and probably not as equipped, at least not as eloquent about it as Pete is, and you know you just hope that he can find that kind of grace and reinvigorate himself too, but you know that it doesn't come automatically, and that you watch the player and see if he can dig himself out of it. And we see that all the time in sports. It's part of, you know, it's part of why it's interesting. It's because not everybody can respond. Not everybody can climb back up. And it's nice to think that he's equipped to deal with failure, because as you say, baseball players better be equipped, because unless they're named Jacob DeGrom, they're going to have some.
I mean, I think the part that we overlook a little bit, Chris, in this whole process, because we only kind of see the physicality of professional sports, is the mental part is huge. I mean, there are so many people with the physical skills in every sport that don't succeed because they can't walk the edge mentally, you know? And I think that this is something that's got a lot more attention in recent years. I remember thinking back when Al Leiter was playing, and he had talked about that he used a sports psychologist and really relied on him. That helped him a lot. But it was a lot of guys weren't using it at the time, though. There were a handful of guys, I think, that were consulting a sports psychologist. And as we've gone on, I would say that the majority of guys probably do to some degree now. Teams certainly employ them now, because I think it's kind of gotten over the stigma. Maybe professional sports guys are like, I don't need a psychologist. You know, I'm just going to kind of grind through this. I'm going to get my way through. I always have. But the mental side of it is really the thing that can do guys in. And now, you know, you talk about Gary Sanchez. I mean, how hard is it to dig yourself out when you have to go up to the plate every time? You've struck out 6 times in a row. You haven't hit the ball out of the park in 10 games. And you're squeezing the bat into sawdust, and you're doing this, you know, on national television. I mean, that stuff can really start to pile up. And the other thing I think with Pete Alonso, and he mentioned that he got rid of his social media accounts because he kind of wanted to live in the moment. There's part of me that thinks it wouldn't surprise me if he was starting to get a lot of flack from people on social media. Even the most popular players, when things go bad, get a lot of negativity on that. And human nature, it's tough to ignore it. even if it's, you know, 100 people who you don't even know. And I think that that helps. If you're going through a tough time, it's best to step away from that kind of stuff.
I 100% agree. I don't know how players sometimes do it. And, you know, I don't know how they weigh the positives and negatives and come out with enough positives in the line of work that they have. You know, for you and me, we have to be there because it part of promotion of what we do for a living, and we need to interact with the fans, and we don't really care about all the negative stuff that we might get. It's fine. It doesn't affect our performance. It's all good. And for those guys, you know, that's not their business. Their business is not necessarily interacting and relating to all of the fans that are out there or the detractors that are out there. They have a specific line of work that they're doing. So, you know, those guys do have a choice. We kind of don't. And some businesses, you know, they don't have a choice. They really need to be on there, but players certainly don't. We're talking to Dave Lennon of Newsday, focusing on the Mets right now. I look at the Mets very simply often, and probably too simply. It's too easy. And I think, you know, as Conforto goes, my opinion of the Mets goes a little bit. If the rest of the team is healthy and they don't have health concerns, how important is Michael Conforto to the Mets, and how important is he to the 2021 Mets?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the guy that's probably going to be batting in the cleanup spot for them. And yeah, he's really the engine. I think in this case, while he is an impactful player for them, and he can be, you know, he can be very streaky. I think with the lineup around him, and I was talking about this with somebody today, is that the lineup is so deep that, you know, you're talking about what McCann may be hitting, you know, depending, I'm saying there's going to be a DH. And in that case, you're talking about McCann like hitting eighth in this lineup, potentially seventh or eighth, you know, so who's a decent hitting catcher. And I just think that there's so much potential and versatility in this lineup from top to bottom that I almost just don't want, you know, I don't think you need to pin it on Conforto. You know, I think there's some other guys there that can help carry this. And I know we've liked to pin it on Alonso in the past too, just because what he's done in trying to take the team on his shoulder a couple years ago. So, you know, Conforto is the guy that when he gets hot, yeah, I mean, he can really propel the team from the middle of the order. But, you know, I think this team is better equipped to take, you know, to kind of sustain his little bit of dips too. So I wouldn't really, you know, I think that's the thing. What they've done is created a deeper, more versatile team. And I think that's going to help everybody in there, Michael Conforto included.
Lindor's athleticism excites people, doesn't it? I mean, they're just excited to have him.
It's crazy to think when you just see it, and we're just talking about spring training, but you know, there's certain guys that bring a lot of extra to the party, right? I mean, he just shows up, and there's just a lot more life around. And he reminds me in that way of kind of the early days of Jose Reyes. There was just kind of a spark plug that was always jumping from place to place. Just had a lot of electricity that other people picked up on just beyond the skills and the talent level. And we're talking about a gold glove shortstop, obviously, and a guy that can do damage from both sides of the plate. So, yeah, Mets fans kind of drive me nuts a little bit in thinking, and they kind of call me maybe a cheerleader for the team when they say, oh, you know, this offseason could have been better. They didn't get any of the top free agents they said they were going to spend money on. Lindor and Carrasco, if they were free agents, would have both been top five free agents this offseason. Lindor probably would have been number one. And they got both of them in one fell swoop. So I think when you get Lindor in an off season, that you've done really, really well. And I think people are going to be reminded of that really quick as soon as he hits the field, not just in the regular season games, but once they see him in action down in the spring training games as well.
And I think, Dave, too, that the lack of athleticism on that team in general, when you grade it on the curve of Major League Baseball, it just – his presence just stands out even more because, you know, I think athleticism, I don't know, in baseball it seems to matter less now because we run less and we take extra bases less, we steal less, we bunt less. So, I don't know, maybe athleticism is overrated a little bit for the game the way it's played today, but he's such an athletic player and such a presence on a team that is more or less a plodding team, you know, not a team that anyone is looking to set any defensive records with. So in that environment, it stands out even more to me.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly, you're right in that description of the Mets, for sure. You know, you even talked about Conforto before, who's, you know, a corner outfielder and looks like that he's a guy that could possibly run, but he can't. He's really slow when you watch him, like, on base running drills and stuff. So, yeah, they just don't really have that. And yeah, you wonder, Chris, because baseball, like you said, it seemed to be more athleticism involved back when, you know, when guys were bunting and putting the ball in play and going first to third and taking extra bases and stealing bases and all that. And I don't want to sound like somebody's grandfather, but, you know, the players are yearning to be more athletic like that. You see it defensively, you know, because you see guys climb the walls or you see guys making the great plays in the infield like a Lindor. But you want to see more of that. I mean, that's why we watch sports, you know, for the spectacular. You know, we want to see those things. And when you see it in baseball, you know, that's part of the reason why we love the sport.
I got a call last night from somebody who said to me, the problem with baseball is that Tampa did it without anything other than probably Snell being their best player. And then they took Snell out because that's what they had done all year to get where they got. And even though it didn't work, the fact that they would take their best player out because all year long it worked for them. And his point was, if you don't need good players to win, then you got to examine your sport a little harder and figure out why it is that having the best, most expensive talent can be bested by having a team that is managed well and that analytically and pitching-wise, in terms of turning, you know, one pitcher into another, into another, into another, is able to beat that star-studded team. He said, when that happens, you got a problem in your sport. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, we talk about the Rays. We're talking about a team that's figured out how to game the system, Chris, right? I mean,
it seems that way.
It's not the front office's job to make the game entertaining or fun to watch. What GMs these days and their lieutenants are trying to do is figure out the most efficient way to win.
Correct.
You know, to play the percentages. That's their job. And it doesn't mean it creates a very entertaining sport. It doesn't. That's what we're seeing. But that's not their job. And they've become so good at it in Tampa that they've refined it into a way that there has to be some kind of pushback. You know, there has to be some changing of the rules, whether it's outlawing the shift, something. Because the data and the technology right now has been refined to such a degree in baseball that, yeah, they can just make this a game of baseball's always been a game of percentages. But they've used the data to a degree where we've seen it. You see it every day when you watch the Rays play baseball and you see them go to the World Series last year. They're gaming the system. And there has to be kind of a way, I think, for the better of the sport to get the entertainment, to get the athleticism, to get the best players in the sport more to the forefront, because I think that's lacking.
Well, I could talk to you all night about this, but let's close with if change is going to come, and if they are going to attempt, whether they succeed or not, you know, you don't know until you risk. So you have to risk first to find out. But if they attempt to make the game more entertaining, where do you expect the impetus from that or for that to come from? Who will lead the charge to say, hey, baseball, we got to do something better to replace the fact that we don't get Ricky Henderson's in the game anymore? How can we throw the fans a bone and make the game more exciting? Who will bring that to the table for them and eventually affect change in your mind if it happens?
I feel like it has to be with the players. And I think you see more and more of them coming out and talking about it. Lindor, especially this week. I mean, he was just elected to the executive subcommittee of the union this past December. So he's going to be a very prominent voice in that. So I think, listen, it's the players' game. You know, I know the owners own the teams and they run the business, but the players are the ones on the field and they're the content. They're the reason why people watch the game. And I think there's going to be a movement with them to do that. I hope the owners can recognize that. I hope Major League Baseball, the people that run it, Commissioner Manfred, can realize that. The part that's worrisome, Chris, is that it all comes down to the money. I mean, it's an $11 billion industry. Decisions are made based on money, and I just wonder. Because the best decisions money-wise aren't always the best decisions for the sport. They seem to rarely be the case. And I'm hoping that they can find some common ground to fix some of these things.
What's your schedule the next couple weeks?
Looks like I'll be with the Mets for the first few games through Wednesday, and then I'll switch over to Tampa to be with the Yankees. I mean, it's been a rough spring. I mean, the pandemic has changed things quite a bit. It's changed a lot the way that we do the job down here without the access in the clubhouse or even to be on the field close to these guys when we could really talk to them. And I say it affects my business a lot, which it does, but in effect, it affects the readers. You know, I just think the readers are kind of missing a lot of good insight that we would normally get from the players and a lot of people around the game. I hope this is short-lived. Because I think it's a tough time. Everybody's going through tough times. It's affected our industry too, and I'm hoping for a light at the end of the tunnel pretty quick.
Better days ahead. Miss you, bud. I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll do it again soon. Enjoy your travel down there.
I hope so, Chris. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Dave Lennon of Newsday, always insightful and good conversation.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.